The reading is taken from Judges, chapter 17, verses 1 to 13. Now a man named Micah, from the hill country of Ephraim, said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it." Then his mother said, "The Lord bless you, my son." When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said, "I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord, for my son to make a carved image and a cast idol. I will give it back to you." So she returned the silver to his mother, and she took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith, who made them into the image of the idol. And they were put in Micah's house. Now this man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some idols and installed one of his sons as his priest. In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. A young Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, who had been living within the clan of Judah, left that town in search of some other place to stay. On his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim. Micah asked him, "Where are you from?" "I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm looking for a place to stay." Then Micah said to him, "Live with me and be my father and priest, and I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year, your clothes and your food." So the Levite agreed to live with him, and the young man was to him like one of his sons. Then Micah installed the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in his house. And Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since this Levite has become my priest."
And in those days, Israel had no king. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking a place of their own where they might settle, because they had not yet come into inheritance among the tribes of Israel. So the Danites set 5 of their leading men from Zorah and Eshtol to spy out the land and explore it. These men represented all the Danites. They told them, "Go, explore the land." So they entered the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah, where they spent the night. When they were near Micah's house, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. So they turned in there and asked him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? Why are you here?" He told them what Micah had done for him and said, "He has hired me and I am his priest." Then they said to him, "Please inquire of God to learn whether our journey will be successful." The priest answered them, "Go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval." Then the 5 men who had spied out the land of Laish said to their fellow Danites, "Do you know that one of these houses has an ephod, some household gods, and an image overlaid with silver? Now you know what to do." So they turned in there and went to the house of the young Levite at Micah's place and greeted him. The 600 Danites, armed for battle, stood at the entrance of the gate. The 5 men who had spied out the land went inside and took the idol, the ephod, and the household gods, while the priest and the 600 armed men stood at the entrance of the gate. When the 5 men went into Micah's house and took the idol, the ephod, and the household goods, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They answered him, "Be quiet. Don't say a word. Come with us and be our father and priest. Isn't it better that you serve a tribe and clan in Israel as priest rather than just one man's household?" The priest was very pleased. He took the ephod, the household gods, and the idol and went along with the people. So the Danites went their way, and Micah, seeing that they were too strong for him, turned around and went back home. Then they took what Micah had made and his priest and went on to Laish against a people at peace and secure. They attacked them with the sword and burned down their city. There was no one to rescue them because they lived a long way from Sidon and had no relationship with anyone else. The city was in a valley near Beth Rehob. The Danites rebuilt the city and settled there. They named it Dan after their ancestor Dan, who was born to Israel through the city, though the city used to be called Laish. There the Danites set up for themselves the idol, and Jonathan, son of Gershom, the son of Moses, and his sons were priests with the tribe of Dan until the time of the captivity of the land. They continued to use the idol Micah had made all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. Well, chapters 17 and 18 form a single story, but we had excerpts because it's so long that it's a bit too much for a single Sunday morning reading. Now, this difficult Bible passage in our series of difficult passages begins with the story of Micah, who manages to break most of the Ten Commandments without even realizing, and then sees one of the tribes of Israel stealing his Levite before they massacre an innocent people. Well, can you find any message of hope in this? Asked Jessica. Well, I hope so. Like much of the Old Testament, the book of Judges records the failure of people. People who have been saved by God. Their failure to obey his commands. That's the point of this book. It's a collection of events from Israel's history that shows what happens when self-serving people ignore God's wishes and instead do what they personally decide is right. The events aren't arranged chronologically in the book. They're in order of immorality, getting worse and worse as the book nears its ending. Well, this story begins at a personal level with the family of Micah, a wealthy landowner in the north of the country. The author had a very dry sense of irony, which is really funny if you like grim jokes about human failings. Now, chapter 17 could be a Bible quiz game where the contestants have to buzz when they hear the law of Moses being broken. For example, Micah lived near Shiloh, which was the main worship center before any temple was built. So what does he do? Micah makes his own place of worship in his home nearby. Buzz. Okay, fingers on buzzers. Micah steals, buzz, a huge amount of silver from his mother, buzz, then lies about it, buzz, but he admits it and returns the money because he fears her curse, buzz. His mother disciplines him by blessing him. Buzz. You get the idea. She makes a false idol with it, carved images, which he puts into his own shrine, ordaining his own son as priest, Micah forgetting that he's not actually the high priest who is allowed to do that. He dishonored his mother, stole, lied, coveted, made false images of God, dishonored God's name without realizing it. He broke all those commandments without leaving home. And he didn't even feel guilty. In fact, he seemed to think he was serving the Lord and probably looked quite impressive outside his family. As the book of Judges says here, and repeatedly, In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. He's wealthy, so he thinks the rules don't apply to him, I suppose. And he's being very religious by having his own shrine and a priest of sorts. He's not hurting anyone. He's found a job for his sons. Why worry? Well, the answer becomes clear as events unfold. The moral and religious confusion found in his home then appears on a larger scale as first the nation's religious ministry is shown to be collapsing, and finally the disintegration of society nationally is shown by the actions of 10% of Israel's population, the tribe of Dan. Well, before that sorry episode, let's look at the Levite visitor's part in the story. At first, he's unnamed, simply a young man from Bethlehem. Well, Levites were supposed to assist priests, teach God's law, and serve in worship with music and praise. And they were meant to live in particular allocated cities and be supported by the rest of the nation there. Well, Bethlehem wasn't one of the Levite cities, and he'd had to leave there because the people weren't supporting the Levites with tithes, as God had asked them to. There's no good staying where you should if it means you'll starve. So he heads north. His people's failure to give, as God wanted, led to this man arriving at Micah's house. He doesn't care about his Levite ministry either. He's serving himself, not God. So when he's offered 10 shekels a year, a suit of clothes, and a home, he's delighted to accept. Now note the size of the theft by Micah at the start. He stole 1,100 shekels, and the Levite salary is 10 shekels per year. In a parody of being a child of God, we're told he lives like one of Micah's sons and serves as a personal priest. Well, as for Micah, his motive is plain and what you'd expect from him. He says, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me because I have a Levite as priest." Though a Levite wasn't allowed to be a priest under Moses' law. Well, when Micah says, "Now the Lord will be good to me," he probably thinks his neighbours will offer money at his shrine because they don't know what's right either. He's added Yahweh to his collection of idols, so he has all the bases covered, a kind of insurance. His main god, though, is money. He thinks God is blessing him. As for the Levite, he'll say whatever people want to hear if they reward him, as we see when the spies from Dan ask him to inquire of God regarding their vicious plan. Chapter 18 moves on to the wider consequences of this breakdown in moral and religious values, showing the effect on a whole tribe and their innocent victims. It begins, "In those days, Israel had no king." Having no king was God's plan for Israel, because God was supposed to be their king, unlike other nations, and God's word was supposed to be their law. Before Saul was chosen as the first king, God tried to warn his people not to choose a human king at all. Still, you can see why they felt they needed one, when you read the book of Judges and see the results of everyone ignoring God's word and serving themselves instead. You might think, I'm not getting much encouragement from this story. In fact, it's scary. And that's what it's meant to be. Especially if you think it sounds remarkably like our own current society and its values. But remember, we do have a king, and I mean Jesus, the king with the power to do good and the authority. And we have Jesus' teaching to light our way. And we have the examples in the book of Judges to warn us what to avoid. What do we make of the tribe of Dan? They'd been told by God where they were to settle when the land was allocated under Joshua, and it was prime territory, but they'd failed to defeat the enemy there, so they decided to move north instead and steal a place for themselves. God had put them just where he wanted, but they knew better and coveted somewhere else. Their greed leads them to choose their own path. That's what brings their spies to spend the night in Micah's home. The spies hear the Levite's accent and ask quite a sensible question: what's a southerner and a Levite like you doing here? He tells them, I was hired. So they ask for some guidance from God, since it's free. Though if they really wanted to hear from God, they would have asked the high priest. The Levite readily invents what they want to hear. When they return with 600 armed men, they decide to steal Micah's silverware and idols. Now, hundreds of years later, Hezekiah, then the king of Judah, would show off his wealth to Babylonian ambassadors who did the same thing, returning with an army to steal everything and exile the people of Jerusalem. For the Israelites who'd been exiled, reading this story must have helped them reflect on their own failings that led to the fall of Israel and then Judah, especially when they had been trusting in riches instead of God. The Levite is rehired at a higher price and achieves the status of being priest to a bunch of violent thieves. But at least there are a lot of them to pay him more. Micah chases after the thieving Danites with his neighbours, who presumably used his shrine, but the Danites simply threaten him. They actually ask him, what's the matter with you? Amazed that anyone should question their wrongdoing. Might is right for them. Micah can only ask, what else do I have? Well, people react to this book in many ways: anger, despair, or laughter at the absurdity of wrongdoing. There's certainly very dark humour when he learns that his valuable silver, fancy idols, and even his chaplain have been carried away, leaving him with nothing. False gods need to be carried by idol worshippers, but the living God carries us when we worship in spirit and truth. Well, next comes the murder of hundreds of peaceful people, perhaps more. The people of Laish had no military treaties with anyone else because they were isolated, peaceful, prosperous, and unsuspecting. The tribe of Dan kills the population and burns the city. Then the tribe rebuilds and proudly renames it after their founder. They set up their own temple with Micah's false idols, ignoring the real one at Shiloh, where they'd come from, a point mentioned at the very end as another example of disobedience. In another painful twist, we're told that the Levite's name was Jonathan. Well, Jonathan was a grandson of Moses, rubbing in the depth of moral decline since the days of the very leader who destroyed the golden calves falsely worshipped at Mount Sinai in the Exodus. Many years after the events told in this story, when Israel divided from Judah and Jeroboam the First set up his own religion with two golden calves, he placed one of those golden calves in the city of Dan. And centuries later, it was the first city in Israel to be destroyed and the first tribe to be exiled because the descendants of the people in this story were living on the northern edge of Israel, themselves vulnerable and unprotected against the might of Assyria. Well, this is a very unpleasant story. And the one that follows it in chapters 19 to 21 is even worse, though too long for a single reading on a Sunday morning. It also begins with a small domestic sin and grows into a civil war. Notice that the Old Testament can be trusted. This book isn't a propaganda exercise for Israel, glossing over misdeeds and downplaying horrific actions. Quite the opposite. It's speaking the truth about God and his people, even when that's uncomfortable. The whole point of the book of Judges, told with its dark humour and subtlety, is to show how society declines when there is no king and everyone does what suits themselves. Events start small, with just a domestic failing, but become horrific, a condemnation of Israel, who are meant to be God's people. The day-night philosophy was, grab what you can, whether or not it's yours. Might is right. The opposite is Christ, his teaching and his example. We do have a king, and our king is God, just like Israel. We additionally have Christ, the promised Saviour. He gave himself fully, denying himself even to death on the cross. And who murdered Jesus over 1,000 years after this story from Judges? Religious leaders who feared he would cost them their status and wealth. The materialism of Jonathan and his day-night employers grew in day-night society and religion and throughout the nation. But it is a universal condition of the greedy and selfish human heart. Is our society very different, even though we have Jesus as well as Moses? Well, our own hearts are different, because we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God lives in us, comforts us, sustains us in the face of a world that still seems full of Micah and the men from Dan. We can't renew the world on our own, but we can renew ourselves and be Christian examples in our church, our homes, and our workplaces. And that can be enough to change things in line with God's plan. Let's live as God calls us to, not like Micah, Jonathan, or the Danites. We enjoy fullness of life when we live in dependence on God. It is God who saves the world. Amen.